local grill known to man.
Features an outstanding roster of grills, smokers, and slow cookers, including their new fire-breathing charcoal grill. Broil Master Grills. Smoke the competition. With a lifetime limited warranty on most parts. See BroilMasterSTL.com for the winning lineup at the Fireplace and Grill Center on Manchester or Gas Appliance Service near Westport. Visit BroilMasterSTL.com for a special offer today. How old are your smoke alarms? Replace them today with Kenna worry-free alarms. Get 10 years of power and no low battery chirps. Kenna, technology that saves lives.
Hit the B square.
Yeah, so hit the B square.
This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. This portion of the show brought to you by Oric. Seven locally owned and operated Oric home centers in the St. Louis area. You can also find them online at Oric, O-R-E-C-K.com. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. It's time now to talk about what's new in the movie theaters and the nightclubs for this weekend. A big weekend in St. Louis. You've got a big poker tournament in town. You got a big basketball tournament in town. You got new movies on the big screen. Let's get to all of that with Mr. Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Hello, Joe. How are you today?
Paul Harris, I am doing just spankingly well. How are you?
I'm loving the weather.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little warm, but that's okay.
Oh, stop whining. Stop whining. We have a bunch of movies to get to today, and I think you should start with the movie that you think will be the most popular this weekend.
Oh, geez. Let's think. How about Muppets Most Wanted?
That's got to be it, right?
Yeah, and it's a really tough film to review because, okay, did you see the Muppet movie? And I'm talking about the most recent one.
I did not see the one with Jason Segel. Is that the one you mean?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Yeah, how was it?
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Of all the Muppet movies I've seen, the Muppet movie they made with Jason Segel is the only one that actually leans a lot on the human characters more than you would expect. Would you agree, Dan?
Yes, yes.
And while that was, basically, that was their best way or their best gimmick to welcome a new generation into the Muppets by having it be both a human and a Muppet story. And it worked. A lot of diehard Muppet fans thought it was a little weak, that it should have been all about the Muppets. And so there were certain people that had issues with the first Muppet movie. I thought it was an amazing flick. I thought it was really well done, a great balance. So when you get to Muppets Most Wanted, they've obviously decided to abandon the idea of it being a human story as well as a Muppet story. This is a very, very, I don't want to call it by-the-numbers sequel, but it just has that lackluster feel that some of the last Muppet movies had before they decided to kind of reboot the idea. I'm talking like when they did Muppets from Space, and it was more a Muppet story where if you had any human beings pop up, it was just a cameo that distracted you from the fact that there really was no story whatsoever, and they just, you know, wanted to have a bunch of kids laugh at the screen. The level of quality that the first Muppet movie had is not in this, but it is a fun Muppet movie, and kids will absolutely dig it. I just kind of felt that the magic they captured with that little reboot film with Jason Segel is just missing in this film, and Jason Segel, I mean, for like an instant you get him, but then you really realize how much that guy carried that first Muppet movie and made it more of a human story that anybody of any age could relate to. First Muppet movie, for any audience, Muppets Most Wanted, it's a kid's show.
Interesting. You're saying that this one doesn't work on both levels the way the Muppets always do when they're at their best.
Correct, because they already set the precedent. The bar was set with their reinvention of the Muppet movie, and by setting the bar the way they did, I was really expecting this film to kind of really carry on, you know, in almost the same direction. I was a bit worried when Jason Segel dropped out and said he wasn't going to participate in the film on the same level he did before. He was a writer on the first film. You really do feel his absence, but kids aren't going to care because they're going to see a lot more of Kermit. They're going to see a lot more of their favorite Muppets on the screen, and there's not this weird brother relationship because the first movie had a brother relationship between a Muppet and Jason Segel, who were brothers. And as ludicrous as the idea comes across, it's well done in that film. I just feel that this movie is for kids, and I just didn't feel it had the gloss that the first one did, or the heart that the first one did. But again, kids aren't going to care. They're not going to notice. They're going to want you to buy the soundtrack and download songs to their tablet or mobile device. They can sing along to the brand new Muppet songs. For kids, this is going to be an easy 8 out of 10. For the adults that loved the first Muppet movie that this new reinvention is started, this is going to be about maybe a 5.5 out of 10.
Huh, interesting. Before that Muppets movie with Jason Segel came around, just called The Muppets, were we in kind of a lull with them?
It seemed like a whole
generation missed the Muppets.
Yeah.
Well, they did there was a really, really bad Muppet Wizard of Oz made for TV movie, and that was like the nail in the coffin of that era of Muppet movies.
Interesting. All right. So there you go. That's 8.5 for the kids and maybe a 5.5 for the adults on Muppets Most Wanted, even though it has Tina Fey and Ricky Gervais, whose work I pretty much love almost everything that those two do.
I like that the trailer where Tina Fey says, turn our lights off, and then turn the lights back on, and she's falling.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem is you've seen basically everything that Tina Fey does in the movie via the trailer.
Oh, that's too bad. Let's talk about another movie that opens this weekend called The Grand Budapest Hotel. This is a movie made by Wes Anderson, who did the movie Rushmore and a few other real art house movies.
The Royal Tenenbaums, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, The Darjeeling Limited. I'm a mega fan of Wes Anderson.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're at opposite ends of the spectrum here, because I've seen Rushmore, and I think I tried to watch that Steve Zissou movie on DVD. I just could not make it through it. The one thing I will say about Wes Anderson is the guy is a visual artist, and in this movie it really is true more than anybody else making movies today. He makes what you see on the screen look different than anything else you've seen, and I don't mean in that weird Tim Burton dark way. I mean in a very bright and very colorful way. He's got reds and purples and yellows and greens and blues in this movie that that nobody else would think of using as part of the landscape of a movie, including the way, you know, a door might look or an elevator that somebody gets into. The colors around the people, they give you a pretty good signal that what you're watching is not part of the same world that we live in. And I don't mean that it's an alien movie in any way. I mean, it's just, it's not part of the world that most of us walk through on a daily basis, that is almost like everything was painted on. The characters in this movie also are quite over the top, but I found that to be amusing the way they did it. The plot, if you want to consider there to be a plot to a Wes Anderson movie, is about a guy who's a concierge in a movie called a hotel called The Grand Budapest in the 1930s. He's played by Ralph Fiennes. And considering that there are parts of this movie that are quite funny, I would never have guessed Ralph Fiennes can do comedy, but he can. And he's very good in the role. I will tell you just some of the other people who appear in this movie. None of them are on screen for nearly as much time as Ralph Fiennes, rather. And for the most part, these people have what could barely be called a cameo appearance. But listen to this. Besides Ralph Fiennes, you get F. Murray Abraham, Adrian Brody, Willem Dafoe, Jeff Goldblum, Harvey Keitel, Jude Law, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Tom Wilkinson, Owen Wilson, Jason Schwartzman, and yes, the only female name you'll recognize on this list, Tilda Swinton. That's a pretty good cast for any movie. Most of those people are on screen for 40 seconds, maybe 90 seconds tops. Willem Dafoe plays a bad guy in that, and we've talked before about on-screen villains. Willem Dafoe can play a pretty darn good villain. F. Murray Abraham, I like his work on Homeland now. He was terrific in Amadeus. He's very good in the role almost of a narrator in this movie. Jeff Goldblum plays a lawyer with more facial hair than everyone who has ever worked on this radio show combined. and Ralph Fiennes, as I said, is pretty good as this concierge in this hotel who gets involved in some adventures. I am not going to give away too much of the movie, too much of the plot of the movie, other than to tell you they are the kind of adventures that take him to places and dealing with people that are just entertaining to watch, even though at times you say to yourself, this is more ridiculous than the last thing I saw, which was 5 seconds ago. There are scenes in here where you will say to yourself, could that be more obviously a miniature? But it's okay, because it's this different world that Wes Anderson has essentially painted onto the screen for you. And I say this as a person who has never liked anything this director has ever made. But I sat in the screening the other night, and I really walked out of there in a good mood. I'm giving this one a 7.5 out of 10.
Wow. Now, that's you giving it a 7.5 out of 10, and you've never really been a fan of what this director's done before.
Correct.
Now, would you agree with me that Wes Anderson, whether he has flaws or perks or whatever you want to, the guy is the most symmetrical director I've ever seen in my life?
Yes, there are scenes in this movie where the action's taking place in the center, and everything on the left is mirrored by everything on the right in terms of space and time and everything else. And it's obvious. I mean, I didn't know that he did that in all of his movies, but it's pretty obvious after 15 minutes that that's the way he likes to shoot movies. And
well, if you ever get, if anybody gets bored, hit YouTube, and there's a YouTube video that mashes up a brief example, but even in a brief example, it's insane. All the symmetrical shots in Wes Anderson films, and it's so amazing because there are movies I've seen over and over again, and I never even noticed. And when I was watching it, everything balanced out perfectly.
Now, I will say that's the sort of thing that could get distracting and could say, okay, well, this guy's trying to be way too cute in his technical prowess. But in this movie, I noticed it at the beginning, but then I kind of got carried away with this silly story that's taking place and the way people act and some of the situations that they get into and other people that they have to deal with. So the technical stuff did not get in the way of anything. Like I said, there are several scenes in here where you go, well, that's obviously a miniature, or that's not what we were supposed to be seeing there. He must have animated this particular section. It doesn't look bad. It's just different in some way. So
he's a very practical director.
I think that's a pretty good way to describe it, yeah.
Yeah, the only special effect you'll ever see in a Wes Anderson movie is stop-motion animation that is always done in a way to where you know it's not real, but that's not the point. It's like a fairy tale.
Right.
It's like you're reading a kid's book.
That's right, and this really comes off as much more of a fairy tale. In fact, there's a framework in the movie of somebody reading a book about what goes on here, which, frankly, I didn't need that framework here. You know, that framework worked most brilliantly in The Princess Bride, with Peter Falk reading that book to Fred Savage, the grandfather reading it to the grandson. I read this to my son. My father read it to me. Now I'm going to read it to you. He was fantastic in that role. I was not fantastic in my imitation of Peter Falk,
well,
but that's okay.
Pardon me.
We didn't have to say that.
But in The Princess Bride, it worked brilliantly. Here, it doesn't really have to be there to make the story work. It's the story that's at the core of what the movie is that matters. And I'm just telling you, I enjoyed myself. What more can you want from a movie review than, you know what, I walked out of there and I felt good.
Excellent. I can't wait to check it out because, again, I am a huge, huge Wes Anderson fan, so I can't wait to check it out.
All right. Now let's move on to another movie that's coming out this weekend. This one you and I both saw. It's Jason Bateman starring in and directing a movie called Bad Words. You take it.
All right. Bad Words is best summed up as being a film with – it's an extremely crude and rude comedy that's directed as if it were a drama. It is a comedy – but Jason Bateman directs this film as if it were a drama. You take any scene in this movie where there's no dialogue, and I was just blown out at the pacing of it and how it's paced in a way where you don't expect it to be a crude comedy. It is about a guy who's 40 years old and for whatever reason decides he's going to find a loophole in the system of spelling bees and compete against kids in a very, again, rude way, but he's allowed to do it because he's sponsored by a news organization, and because he never graduated the eighth grade. So his loophole allows him to compete and beat children in a spelling bee, and multiple spelling bees, but you never know why he's doing it. He keeps referencing in a voiceover, but we don't know what the voiceover comes from. He keeps referencing it was a bad plan. He really had no direction. He just knew he wanted to do something. He had a purpose for it. You do find out in the end of the film when everything comes together, oh, that's why he was doing it. it doesn't have the payoff that you would expect, but that works because he was pacing this film almost as if it wasn't meant to be a comedy, in my opinion. And so the payoff works in a non-cliched way. However,
and there's always a however in life.
As much as I laughed when I watched it, as much as I squirmed at some of the most awkward moments that I just could not believe they put on screen, it is a movie that I have no intention of ever watching again. It's one of these movies, you see it once, and you got it. There's really no reason to ever see it again unless you have a friend of yours that's a huge Jason Bateman fan and they've never seen this movie. Yeah, you can sit down and watch it again with somebody and see it through the eyes of a newbie who's never experienced it before. But this is not a movie that I will want to own and put in my DVD collection. You see it once and you pretty much get it. And by the time the movie wraps up, you're already ready for it to be over. I mean, you get it. It's funny, but the repetition of how they set up the insulting jokes and the crude behavior, after a while, you've had enough of it and you've done the journey and it's enough already. Let's get to the payoff. All right, that's the payoff. Fine, great. I'm glad I saw it. I enjoyed myself. It is not a movie that I can recommend to a lot of different audiences. Anyone who is offended easily needs to stay very far away from this movie. Anyone who thinks that humor where adults and kids are seriously at each other's throats, but not in a slapstick way, you'll be offended by this movie.
Now, let me just ask you a question right there. Let me just stop you because this is something that stuck with me after this movie. Like you, there were sequences in this movie that did make me laugh. In particular, I like the way Jason Bateman takes on Allison Janney, who is the woman who is the president of this organization that puts on this national spelling bee. You know, like the Scripps Howard spelling bee, effectively, same thing. And Allison Janney is incapable of a bad performance. She's just very good in every single thing that she does. And so,
totally agree.
And she's very good in this. And I like when he's taking her on, his character is taking her on. But I was a little bothered, thinking about it in retrospect as I was driving home, about some of the things that his character does to some of the kids who are his competitors in some of the spelling bees. If this were one kid doing it to another, that would be one thing. But you've got a 40-year-old man here picking on 10, 11, and 12-year-old kids. And in a couple of instances, making them feel lousy. I mean, I'm being mild by using the word lousy here.
Oh, yeah.
There's particularly one scene with one girl that, frankly, I thought, well, you even made the sound right there. It's completely uncalled for. It's beyond cruel. And it's impossible to root for somebody like that. The movie, I think, wants you to root for this guy. But how can you after that scene, Joe?
You can't, and I'll tell you this, and this is not a spoiler. This is me saying this to the audience that will go and see this movie. Paul's right. The way that Jason Bateman's character confronts the adults helps you root for him, and you get it. Because, you know what, this guy's got an agenda. I don't know what it is yet, but he's taking on the system, he's taking on the man, and these people are snobs, and obviously he's just having a good time with the snobs. Great, that's fine. We don't need to know yet what the big reveal of the plot is. He's going up against adults. If you remove him getting in the heads of the kids, the movie would still work, because the kids are, they don't need to be the victims that they are in this. The adults that run the organization, the fact that they are willing to, all right, spoiler, the adults are willing to cheat in the competition to bounce him out of it, obviously now those adults deserve what they're going to get if Bateman can take them down. But the kids that get in the crossfire are going to experience, especially the scene with the girl, a horrific incident that you cannot wipe clean of their brain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For that reason, this is not the kind of movie I'm going to go and run and rewatch. I did laugh. I did squirm. I had fun with it. There are male and female love scenes that are probably one of the most awkward collection of love scenes I've ever seen.
Yeah, you mean sex scenes.
Yeah. There's some very awkward sex in this movie. I mean, if you ever watched the show Girls and you thought that was awkward, you have not seen anything.
But not nearly as much tattooing and not nearly as much flesh.
There we go. Yeah, all right, I'll go with that. It is a movie that you will laugh at, and if you're... Look, Paul and I, we review movies. We have very different takes on things, obviously. I mean, we just proved it with the Wes Anderson conversation. But the two of us both are probably feeling the same way about this movie. It does have moments you'll laugh at, has moments that you'll enjoy, has a couple of quotable lines you might use with the people you see the movie with. but you're also going to really have a bizarre experience on whether or not you're going to want to really embrace everything this movie does. For that reason, I mean, if I'm going to call it a comedy, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
Yep.
And I can't call it anything other than a comedy. It's just down the middle for me, a 5 out of 10.
I was going to give it a 5, too. And by the way, we didn't even bring up the 10-year-old boy in this movie, a kid by the name of Rohan Chand.
The slumdog character.
Yes, who he does a very good job. He was also in a movie called Lone Survivor that I reviewed a couple months ago on this show. But he's very good. But again, 10-year-old boy, 40-year-old man, weird relationship, not sexual in any way. I don't mean it that way. I just mean that their relationship is odd and
uncomfortable
at times. Yes.
If you're watching a movie and there's a 10-year-old drinking booze, okay, and it's being handed to him by a 40-year-old adult, it's really hard to get excited. There's too many areas where things happen, and they want it to be real. They want you to really feel. That's the other thing, Paul. When they get really awkward, and there's the awkward moments where kids are victims in Jason Bateman's plot, they really carry it all the way out in a very realistic way to where you just feel awkward. But there are also parts where, for example, spoiler, Jason Bateman happens to be hanging out with this 10-year-old kid, raids the kid's minibar, and leaves bottles of booze all over the room. The kid's dad shows up in the room, never mentions it once. What father would not make an issue of that?
Right. One exception to the adult child alcohol thing, and that's Walter Matthau and the kids in Bad News Bears.
Well, that's
one exception to the rule. I will recommend two movies that are on DVD instead of Bad Words. And I'm not saying you should never see Bad Words, but I don't think you should spend money for it. If you saw it later on Netflix or on cable, okay, you can watch it and see if you agree with us. Don't bother going to see a movie theater. Go to a movie theater to see it. However, if you want to watch two good movies about spelling bees, one fictional called Aquila and the Bee.
Oh, yeah.
Came out in 2006. It starred a girl by the name of Kiki Palmer as Aquila, who is an inner city girl who's very, very bright, whose mother doesn't want her to get into the pressure-filled world of spelling bees, but who kind of hooks up with a mentor played by Lawrence Fishburne, and he is terrific with her in much the same way he was with the kid in Searching for Bobby Fischer when it came to chess. He's very good teaching Aquila about what you need to know, not just the words, but the psychology of spelling bees. Aquila and the Bee is a terrific movie, a 9 out of 10 from me. And the other one is a documentary that came out a few years ago called Spellbound, which is about real-life kids in that spelling bee culture. And the documentarians got to spend a lot of time with them. Some of them are winners. Some of them are near winners. Some of them may be able to spell, but the rest of their life marks them with a big L for loser. And it's a very, very compelling documentary. 8 out of 10 for Spellbound for me. Both of those better in that world. And it's a very different look at that world than what Jason Bateman has put together here.
All right, would you agree, though, that the way the guy shot, the way Bateman shot Bad Words,
yeah,
if you take away the dialogue, it is shot like a drama and not like some zany comedy.
Yeah, by the way, I was impressed with his direction.
Oh, yeah, no, that's why I'm bringing it up, because I was afraid, he's a genius in Arrested Development, absolutely love almost every performance the guy does. Even though he's always playing Jason Bateman, I mean, he always plays Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
But I was impressed with how he was as a director. I just felt that his, I don't want to call it the direction he took with the film, because I don't want to sound stupid, but it just was lopsided as far as the cause and effect of what he did.
Joe, do you have to go, or can we take 3 more minutes to talk about a couple of possible sequels?
Well, let's see. I got a couple of clubs. Fire away. What do we got?
Ivan Reitman says that Ghostbusters 3 is a go, even though Bill Murray won't do it, Harold Ramis can't do it because he's dead, and Ernie Hudson, a.k.a. the Black Ghostbuster, says, I won't do it now that Harold is dead. Of course, Dan Aykroyd has all along wanted to do this and has pushed for a script. Ivan Reitman, the director, says he wants to make the movie, but he doesn't want to make the movie. In other words, he wants to produce it, but not direct it. And so now they're looking at it. The studio, Sony, has a new script, which only has a minor role for the original Ghostbusters.
It's going to be like the new generation of, that's what I heard, and they're looking at Jonah Hill and what's her name, the redhead, that was in Superbad.
Emma Stone.
Yeah.
What a huge mistake.
Well, it's a massive mistake for a huge reason. If this goes down, here's what it's going to be known as. I'll be straight up with you. Anyone that gets this reference, my hat off to you. Ghostbusters 3 will go down in film history as the speed zone to the Cannonball Run movies, if they do this.
Yeah. I think that messing with Ghostbusters is, in Ghostbusters lingo, a giant Twinkie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to say anymore. The other sequel thing I wanted to mention to you is Pixar announced this week that they are going to be making a Cars 3. Okay, that franchise went off the rails with Cars 2. But they're also going to make a sequel to The Incredibles, which of all the Pixar movies, I think might be the one that could easily be a really good sequel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they didn't go too off the map with The Incredibles and, you know, license out a bunch of, you know, TV shows and whatnot, because The Incredibles is the one movie out of every Pixar film. That was the first time where I really got it, and I really loved every aspect of it. Sure, Toy Story, when you see it the first time, I remember thinking, ah, it's just a kid's movie. But then I'm like, oh, it's got a heart. Oh, it's got a message. When you watch The Incredibles, you're watching a real movie, the first Pixar movie to be rated PG because it had gun violence, and it had a message on multiple levels, whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult, whether you're a father. There's something for everybody in that movie. And the voice acting, brilliant. The direction and the way the film looked, it just had a really cool style to it, and it's going to benefit from the fact that it takes place in a time different than our own. So it's kind of a throwback. So you can use other decades as inspiration to where the movie's going to go. And with the superheroes that they've made up, which are obviously based on other superheroes, they just put their own little spin on it, the sky's the limit with what they can do.
Yep.
I can't wait. And they're going to re-release the original Incredibles. And, of course, they're going to, you know, post-op it or whatever with 3D to get kids excited again, because it has been a while since The Incredibles came out, and they're going to try and get another generation all jazzed on it. I'm excited to see where another Incredibles movie can go. I don't even want to know Cars 3, because I hate the fact I know Cars 2.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, what's in the clubs this weekend?
All right, starting tonight, Young the Giant over at the Pageant, Shock the Junkie at Pops, Mr. Wives at Firebird, Choke Up at FUBAR, The Hot Liquors over at the Demo, Metal Ceilings at Foam Coffee and Beer, Little Big Bangs at the Heavy Anchor, The Sheckies at Lemons on Saturday, Jedi Nighties over at Off-Broadway, Useless Eaters and the Brainstems are at Melt, Stomp Cat is over at Plush, Wicket the Instigator at the Old Rock House, FUBAR has Jailhouse Poets, Me Like Bees over at the Heavy Anchor, Blank Space has So Many Dynamos, and the Robot and the Half Truths are over at the Demo. And last but not least, I got five concerts here, gentlemen, and one is absolutely fake, but the other four, 100% real. Are we ready for all?
Yep.
All right. Cadaver Dogs, Friday at the Demo. The Excite Bikes, Friday at Lemons. Motor Panties, Saturday, Blueberry Hill. Hawthorne Headhunters, Saturday at the Blank Space. Goon Bags, Saturday at 2720 Cherokee.
You went first last week. Dan, you're up.
Man, I want to go with, Goon Bags, or I'm going to go Motor Panties.
Ian?
The Excite Bikes.
Oh, that was the other one.
I'm going Goon Bags.
Well, again, I guess it's probably because of the generation and all that, the fact that, you know, we're kind of cut from the same cloth. Ian is the winner of the Excite Bikes, completely made up.
Love that
awesome
game.
Awesome video game if you get the time.
Oh,
and
it
you
is
got
a video
retro
game?
System.
Yes.
That will do it for me. I'll talk to you guys next week. Joe Hickerson for the Big 550 KTRS on Entertainment.
Thank you, Joe. Good job. Joe Hickerson, brought to you every week by Oreck. 7 locally owned and operated stores in the St. Louis area and online at OREK. That's Oreck.com.
Meep, meep.
All right, let's see how the roads look right now and check in with Tim Weiland. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Dan. Well, they've just cleared an accident on westbound 40 at Big Bend. It had the right lane blocked, but right now traffic is backing up from Kings Highway all the way out through the Bellevue area. On eastbound 40, you're slowing from Grand to the Poplar Street Bridge. You're heavy on the Poplar Street Bridge on eastbound 55-64 to the 70 merge. Eastbound 64 is still running slow through that construction zone from Baugh Avenue and 111. Now, if you're traveling on eastbound 270, things are really stacking up now from Missouri Bottom excuse me, through New Florence. And southbound 270, looking at some heavier traffic than normal between Highway 40 and Doherty Ferry. And westbound 70, it looks like we have a little slowdown between 170 and the airport, and again between Zumbel and Cave Springs. This traffic report brought to you by Coca-Cola and the Walmart Deli. Get an effortless meal from Walmart with a 2-liter Coke, 29-ounce market-side rotisserie chicken, and 2-pound potato salad for $9.50 or less. Tax, deposit, and CRV not included. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Monday morning on McGraw Live. Did your NCAA bracket survive the weekend? We'll check in with Jim Holder for a full recap from the sports desk. David Stokes will join us in studio to talk local politics. Gail Pennington has the best television of the week. And Congressman John Shimka stops by the Westport studios of the Big 550. I'm Kelly Jackson. Join us Monday for McGraw Live on the Big 550 KTRS.
Are you looking for a new kitchen or bath? How would you like to only spend $5,000 on your brand new kitchen? Well, you can if you go to Affordable Kitchens and Baths. It's a division of Callier & Thompson, and it's the home of the $5,000 kitchen, which includes in-stock all-wood maple cabinetry, 2-centimeter granite countertops, and all stainless steel appliances. It's Affordable Kitchens and Baths, and it's the home of the $5,000 kitchen. Now, where is it? It's in St. Peter's, 4600 South St. Peter's Parkway, formerly Highway 94, between Kisker and Central School Road. Affordable Kitchens and Baths has great financing rates with any project. They have ding and dent appliances that can save you even more money if you're updating your kitchen. And in most cases, you'll never be able to see the ding or dent. They're located at 4600 South St. Peter's Parkway, formerly Highway 94, between Kisker and Central School Road, a division of Callier & Thompson, so it's synonymous with quality. It's Affordable Kitchens and Baths.
If you're tired of suffering with joint discomfort, be one of the lucky people personally selected to experience a revolutionary new joint relief breakthrough called Beneflex. Right now, personal introductory samples of Beneflex are being made available to adults in this area, but only through this unique offer. To guarantee your sample, call now, 1-800-600-1252. Beneflex is our most advanced formula ever, offering effective joint relief in as few as 7 days. If you want to be one of the people lucky enough to receive a personal sample, you must act quickly. If you're suffering with joint discomfort in your hands, knees, even your hips, Advanced Beneflex can provide relief in as few as 7 days. And now you can be one of the first individuals to experience its amazing power. But hurry, these samples are very popular. Beneflex is available at GNC and Vitamin Shop, but to guarantee your personal sample, you must call now. 1-800-600-1252. That's 1-800-600-1252. 1-800-600-1252.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-919-8949 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-919-8949, 1-800-919-8949, or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Granite Busters is the region's number one name in granite countertop savings.
And for a limited time only, they're making an offer you can't refuse.
45 square feet of Category A granite countertops.
A stainless steel undermount sink.
A sink grate.
And a plumbing hookup.
All this for under $2,000.
Just $1,999.55.
Questions? Call Granite Busters right now at 636-322-2344. That's 636-322-2344.
Or visit the Granite Busters showroom and 20,000 square foot double warehouse at 1752 Jeffco Boulevard.
You'll find over 125 colors and more than 500 granite and quartz slabs in stock.
That's the biggest selection around.
And at Granite Busters, they feature digital templating, laser stone fabrication, and expert installation. All 100% free.
Upgrade to granite countertops right now.
Call, visit, or log on at granitebusters.com.
The kitchen countertops countertops of your dreams for under $2,000. Only at Granite Busters.
New customers only. This offer cannot be combined with any other offers. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot Advanced Cream.
I know all about living with pain. After 19 years of pro ball, man. But now I'm feeling awesome. Icy Hot Advanced Relief is the real deal.
Icy Hot Advanced Cream has two maximum strength ingredients to last up to 50% longer. Works great on shoulders, backs, knees, even arthritis. Icy to dull the pain and hot to relax it away.
Come on now, advance past pain and get on with living.
Icy Hot Advanced, available in cream and patch.
Pain over.
Use only as directed.
Target Talk St. Louis is presented by the Belleville Indoor Shooting Range and Metro Shooting Supplies in Bridgeton. Join the conversation about firearms beginning every Sunday at 6 p.m. on KTRS.
Heading towards the weekend, or already into it. And yes, I know your bracket's been burst by Mercier this afternoon beating Duke. We understand it. You're not going to get the $1 billion. Okay, fine. Everybody in the office knows. Stop whining about it.
It's been a lot of upsets.
Yeah, tremendous so amount. Far. Yeah. I mean, if you win it this year, you deserve it.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. This is the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. We've talked quite a bit on this show about the segue from Jay Leno to Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show. And I mentioned how I was a fan of Jimmy's when he was doing late night on NBC after Leno, and I thought that he would do fairly well. Well, now we have some numbers that have come in. Because if you look at somebody in their first week of a show, that's not really indicative of how they're going to do over the long haul. But now he's been on the air for a month. His show has been watched by 4.5 million viewers at the regular time slot. Just to put that in perspective, Jay Leno, during his last week on the air, when there was hype and hoopla and big stars coming
going
on the
away.
Show,
yeah.
He did 4.9 million.
Wow.
So though that's pretty much near what the peak of Jay Leno's ratings are. They're not the same as they were in the 90s, when there were a lot fewer things for you to choose from in your late-night entertainment. But say that Jimmy's at 4.5 on average, and Leno finished with a 4.9, that says a lot. Fallon has a 1 rating compared to a 0.7 rating for Jay in that week with young viewers 18 to 34. And that's one of the reasons they wanted to make the change. Jimmy Fallon's viewers, on average, are 5 years younger than Jay Leno's were.
Hmm.
And Jimmy Fallon's been pulling in double the audience of Letterman and double the audience of Kimmel.
Wow.
That's very, very impressive. So the NBC research people are looking at this and saying, is he adding new people? Because the question was, will Jay Leno's fans, and Jay was number one in late night, will Jay's fans stick around and watch Jimmy Fallon? Well, they were before, after Leno got off the air at 11:35 and Jimmy Fallon came on. People watched him. We don't know if it was the same people or not, and I think that in the case of Leno, people watched the monologue and maybe the first desk skit, and then depended on who the stars were about whether they stuck around for the second half hour of the show. But the NBC people say the relative youth of Jimmy Fallon's audience indicates that his Tonight Show has actually added new viewers to the mix. So in other words, total win for NBC. Now, here's the key, as far as I'm concerned, about Jimmy Fallon. He is unlike anybody who has done The Tonight Show since Steve Allen, the original guy, in the Jimmy Fallon isn't just a host of a show, but as a performer. He brings people on the show, and he wants to do shtick with them. He wants to play games with them. He wants to dance with them. He wants to do skits with them. He wants to sing with them. And here's an example from last night. Billy Joel was his guest on the show. And they were talking about how Jimmy Fallon had gone to a Billy Joel concert and gone backstage, and they were singing some doo-wop songs. So Jimmy brought out his iPad, and he had an app on there where you can start doing a song, and then it will loop what you've done, and then you can push another button and add another track and add it on and add it on and add it on. So he and Billy started doing the classic doo-wop song, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the weem-a-weh, weem-a-weh part. And then the two of them started singing with that going on in the background through this iPad. Listen to this.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sings tonight.
That's Jimmy.
In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sings tonight. Near the village, the peaceful village, the lions sing tonight.
That's Billy Joel.
Near the village, the quiet village, the lion sleeps tonight.
That's really good, isn't it?
It's really good. They get together and rehearse any of this stuff. I think they just do it off the cuff.
My darling, don't fear, my darling, the lion sleeps tonight. Hush, my darling, don't fear, my darling, the lion sleeps tonight. Oh.
Dan, it doesn't matter to me whether they rehearsed that and talked about it ahead of time and figured out what they were going to do ahead of time.
Yeah.
No one else. Yeah, David Letterman's never going to do that.
No.
Jimmy Kimmel's not going to do that. Craig Ferguson's not going to. Arsenio is not going to do that. No one else in late night is going to do that. Jimmy Fallon has got himself a niche as being a performer.
Right. A singer.
Not a broadcaster, comedian, talk show host.
And he's not abrasive. And I think that's going to draw more guests.
Yes.
And more people because you can see that they really enjoy doing some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
When they were playing, he was playing basketball the other night with Greg Kinnear.
Oh, yeah.
Greg Kinnear. And they had different things that they had to. And Greg Kinnear was actually just having a great time.
Yeah, you know what? It kind of reminds. Remember when Arsenio Hall first went up against Carson?
Yeah.
He kind of had the party attitude.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall shows. His show now is lame. Jimmy Fallon's show has that party attitude and the host who can do anything they want to do on that show. And he's having fun. You could tell. You know, you could see the look on his face. If you go see that video on YouTube and you want to see the whole thing, Jimmy Fallon's face says, I can't believe I'm singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight with Billy Joel in a doo-wop style with an app on my iPad. It's very, very cool. And this guy's going to be in that position for a long time to come. It's the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And here's a guy that longs to sing with Billy Joel and longs to sing with anyone. I don't even know if he has a great voice, but I think he does. It's Tim Wise.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
He has no singing voice at all.
All right.
If you're traveling on westbound 40, though, you do have stop-and-go traffic from Grand out through Big Bend, and then you're slow again from Clarkson to the Boone Bridge. Going to find another slowdown between 94 out through Winghaven, eastbound 270, still slowing from McDonald through New Florissant. Downtown eastbound 40 looks like it's getting a little bit better. You're slow Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Still some slow pockets on eastbound 5564 from the Poplar Street Bridge to the 70 merge. Southbound 55 looks like it's a pretty good run. Westbound 44, just a little slowdown between Mraz and Bowles. Good thing, no accidents, no other incidents to report right now. And this traffic report brought to you by Coca-Cola and the Walmart Deli. Get an effortless meal from the Walmart Deli with a 2-liter Coke, 29-ounce market-side rotisserie chicken, and 2-pound potato salad for $9.50 or less. Tax, deposit, and CRV not included. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Next time on the Martin Kilcoin Show.
Hey, remember a week ago, Joe Holloman took off work, not because it was St. Paddy's Day, but because he was spending it on his bracket. We'll see how he's doing. And how's your bracket? We'll talk about it. But also, in studio, a local artist who was once signed by Def Jam Records. And when that didn't work out, he decided to do his own thing. And now he's helping kids.
The Martin Kilcoin Show, along with Randy Naughton, weekdays at 10 on KTRS. Live and local.
This is an important message from Heisey Advisory Group. If you own mutual funds, listen closely. You may be paying hidden fees that you are not aware of, and they could be costing you thousands and eroding your profits. Learn how to find the real fees associated with your mutual funds by calling 314-909-1116 to get a copy of the 8 Things You May Not Know About Mutual Funds. This complimentary guide will teach you how to find out your real profits. If you're not 100% sure what your mutual fund fees are, call 314-909-1116 right now for your complimentary guide. This guide will help you understand what you should be looking for and what you can do about it. You have a right to know what you're paying. Avoid unnecessary costs and call Heisey Advisory Group right now for the guide to 8 Things You May Not Know About Mutual Funds at 314-909-1116. That's 314-909-1116. Don't wait. Call 314-909-1116 right now. Ken Heisey is an investment advisor representative. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Lori Heisey is a licensed insurance representative.
I'm hungry.
Looking to try a new local restaurant?
Yes, I am.
Search Kuna Foods' new dining website, bestrestaurantsinstlouis.com. Like them on Facebook. That's bestrestaurantsinstlouis.com.
Thanks.
Our Missouri Tigers won their first game in the NIT, and now they're taking on the Golden Eagles of Southern Mississippi at Mizzou Arena Sunday. And you can catch all the action right here on the Big 550.
Pivots behind the back pass, left block. Rosberg for the mash. Up pizza delivery.
The Tigers versus the Golden Eagles. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with John Hadley, and the tip-off is at 4 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Bang!
We are our Mizzou.
Hurt on a job or in a car wreck? Let the experienced lawyers at Brown & Brown help you. You know our law firm. My brother's a lawyer with the eye patch. At Brown & Brown, we can help you so you can concentrate on getting better. We'll take care of the rest. You can go to our website at brownlawoffice.com. Or to speak with an attorney, in Missouri, our phone number is all threes, 333-3333. In Illinois, our phone number is all eights, 888-8888. And always remember, at Brown & Brown, if you can't come to us, we'll come to you.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertisements.
Bosch is the quietest dishwasher brand in the U.S. and now features a third rack. See it at Best Buy today or visit bestbuy.com/Bosch.
The Big 550.
KTRS. St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Right now, the first three aircraft are due to leave Perth in Western Australia now that it's after sunrise Saturday morning to